Track 7, London Landmarks. Well, I mentioned at the beginning that we would have some history for you, and here it is. This is from the London Beyond Sight project, and Bettany Hughes is talking, among other things, about the Roman River crossing at Brentford.
My name's Bettany Hughes, and I'm a historian, broadcaster and author. My specialism is ancient history, so I've chosen one possible site where Julius Caesar and his army forded the River Thames during their second expedition to Britain in 54 BC. It's here that we meet the first named native Briton in history. Julius Caesar identifies him in his first-hand account of the campaign, Commentari de Bello Gallico, in English, Commentaries on the Gallic War. This Iron Age Briton was a tribal leader called Cassivellaunus, and he led an uneasy alliance of British tribes to defend against the Roman threat. They were no match for the Roman army, though, who, according to Caesar, waded up to their necks in the water, but were still able to scatter the Britons and ultimately to force Cassivellaunus to surrender. So where was this crossing? Well, the jury's out on whether this is actually the place, but one very strong contender is Brentford in West London, on the north side of the Thames. Julius Caesar writes about the banks of the Thames being fortified with sharpened stakes, and rows of sharpened oak stakes were indeed discovered when the river here was being dredged to make Brentford Dock in the middle of the 19th century. My first job was in Brentford, in the Waterman's Arts Centre, which is built on the banks of the river. I was in my early 20s and had just emerged from 8 years of solid academia and was eager to put my studies to good use, taking history out to the public rather than just solely squirreling away in a library somewhere. But I had to start at the bottom and work my way up, and instead, there I was, working at Waterman's Arts Centre as an usherette. During my breaks, I used to sit here on the Arts Centre's balcony overlooking the Thames and let the view restore my peace of mind. This was a real salvation to me. By contrast, Brentford's High Street was pretty shabby and run down. It seemed almost abandoned by the present. But turn your face south and you could find this beautiful stretch of river. Liquid history. From the balcony, I could see two little tree-covered islands. The smaller, Lots 8, is about 150 metres long and 50 wide. At that time, it had a crumbling boatyard on it, which has very recently been renovated into two smart green corrugated iron workshops and warehouses. Brentford 8, beyond it, is almost five times as long. These are both islands that have formed over time through a build-up of river sediments. Lots 8 is accessible at low tide from the shore, although you'd have to squelch through the black tidal mud to reach it. Brentford 8 has deeper channels surrounding it. It was planted with alder and willow in the 1920s to shield Kew Gardens on the opposite bank from the view of Brentford's gasworks, and these have now grown into dense, mature trees. In the 1800s, Brentford had a notorious pub on it, the Three Swans, where, we're told, the Prince of Wales would hold secret rendezvous with his mistress, Mrs. Robinson. Now it's uninhabited, apart from the birds. It's home to herons and long-bodied black cormorants who build their untidy twiggy nests in the trees, and tufted ducks with their shimmering purple-black heads and little feather pigtails who dive for fish in the water around. The whole island is a bird sanctuary, and I would sit on that balcony and watch the trees shiver with bird life. Another inhabitant is the endangered German hairy snail, a tiny brown snail about the size of your little fingernail, which actually has short, bristly white hairs protruding from its shell. Beyond the islands, the Thames slides by at speed. The water is dark as treacle, almost primeval, the strength of the current pulling its surface into wrinkles. Local boating clubs use it to practice their rowing, so at any time of the year there'll be a succession of little skiffs lying low in the water with scarlet-faced rowers pulling at their oars. They look a bit like pond skaters, those tiny insects that skim over the surface of the water without breaking its skin. On the other side of the river, about 50 metres away, the red brick building that is Kew Palace and the extensive glass and steel greenhouses of Kew Gardens can just be glimpsed through the trees. It's such a peaceful spot. It's hard to believe that 3 minutes' walk away, the M4 motorway is busy sucking the life out of everything it passes. My time at the Watermans Arts Centre came to an end a few years after I became Director of Performing Arts there, aged 23. And it was some years beyond that, after I'd knocked on a lot of TV producers' doors, that I was able to do what I'd originally planned. To try to help people love history the way I do. Initially, I had a lot of rebuffs. I was told, one, nobody's interested in history. Two, nobody watches history programmes anymore. And three, nobody wants to be lectured at by a woman. But it turns out that one, people are quite interested. Two, they do watch history programmes. And three, they're quite happy to watch programmes presented by anyone who interests and inspires them, whether male or female. Since I was very young, I've been aware of the wealth of history beneath my feet. And I'm happy if I've been able to open other people's eyes to that richness all around them, even in the most prosaic and unexpected places. So here I am, back on the balcony at Watermans Arts Centre, looking out over Lotts and Brentford Eights, watching the cormorants do their impossibly long dives, and maybe, just maybe, experiencing the very spot where Rome's greatest military commander came ashore.
Thank you to Bettany for that fascinating piece. And we'll be hearing a bit more about the Romans here in Norfolk from Chris Skinner very shortly.